Good morning, Streams Church. It's Sunday, May 24th. You're sitting there. I was sitting here, but I'm not here anymore because I'm taping on Tuesday and we cut our videos and it's now Sunday, but it's a very special Sunday for two reasons. First of all, we are kicking off circles. If you're not a part of a circle yet, get the app downloaded, go online, be a part of a circle. It's so important for us to stay connected right now. This is the avenue of how we stay together, how we disciple people at Streams, how we care for one another at Streams. So we're kicking it off this week for Circle. Secondly, it's Memorial Day. And we want to say thank you to all those who have served in our military. As you know, we're very close to Luke Air Force Base, and we love the young airmen there and appreciate all that they do for us. And we have a couple of them that are going to be involved in today's service. So Sunday, May 24th, welcome to Streams Church Online.
Hello, Streams Church family. Peter and Tanya Kinney here. May is marked officially as Military Appreciation Month and is a special month for both those in and out of the military. This month holds several military anniversaries and events, including Military Spouse Appreciation Day and Armed Forces Day. Perhaps the most significant is Memorial Day, when we remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice and gave all. I'm so grateful to be a part of Streams Church for many reasons. One is that this is a very military-friendly church and honors my fellow veterans. My wife Tanya and I attend Streams, and we are also one of your supported missionaries. Our mission field is right here at Luke Air Force Base, just 2 miles away. Did you know that over half of all fighter pilots in the Air Force do some portion of their training right here at Luke? We have a special heart for the young airmen permanently stationed here that keep the jets in the air. So we run a hospitality house where we provide a homemade dinner and Bible study, holiday meals, and weekend retreats. Our mission is to share the gospel in our lives with the military community. What does the Bible have to say about the military? Quite a lot. It's written over 550 times, which means it's important. Commander is said 182 times. Soldier, 91 times. Centurion, 24 times. The army is talked about 258 times. The Bible would have talked about the Air Force too, but God hadn't created them yet.
The military is a special group of people who choose to sacrifice for others. Many have been willing to go and put themselves in harm's way, and several have paid the ultimate price for our freedoms. Let us pray for them and their families. God, our Creator, we thank you for the warrior spirit you have placed in men and women who have a willingness to go and fight for the sake of others. May the example of their sacrifice inspire in us the selfless love of your Son, our Lord Christ Jesus. Help these men and women to seek you above the pleasures of this world, that they would find their hope in you alone and know and feel your presence in their lives. I pray your words in Joshua 1:9. Help our military to be strong and courageous, not afraid or discouraged. Instead, let them know you, Lord our God, are with them wherever they go. Lastly, bless the families of our fallen troops and fill their homes and lives with your strength and peace. Amen.
God bless you, Streams family, and God bless you to all the military and military families out there. Bye-bye.
Hi, Streams family. I'm Ben.
I'm Emily.
And we just wanted to say a quick prayer for our nation's military as we approach Memorial Day weekend. So without further ado, bow your heads with us.
Dear God, we just thank you so much for our military and just for those serving, Lord. It is definitely a calling, and I just thank you for all of the strength that you are giving each service member, and I just ask that as we take this weekend to really honor them and remember and just kind of respect what they're doing, that they can just feel the support and encouragement from each of us, Lord. And I just want to pray for the family members too, as it's not even just a calling for the service members, but it's also a calling for their families. And so I just ask that you give them the peace and the understanding as they sometimes go through uncharted waters and not having all that understanding. And so we just thank you so much, Lord, for everything you're doing in their lives.
Lord, I thank you for building such warriors of faith and supporters of freedom that our country represents. For all the sailors, soldiers, Marines, airmen, and Coast Guardsmen out there, that you with them and you see favor in our country's leaders and our men and women of the armed services, and especially that you're with your families too. We know we weren't meant for a life of isolation, and just how important the network is for those families, friends, chaplains, and everybody who supports our military. We thank you for the incredible community around Luke Air Force Base, especially for their support in our role. So dear Lord, I pray for safety and blessing over our men and women, and thank you for your continued blessings and everything that the military stands for. May we be good assets for you, Lord, and do everything in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, good morning, Streams Church. This is Michael. So glad to be here with you guys this morning. I just wanted to share a little bit about what God's been speaking to me about this new season of life that we're in. God had showed me a picture of just all these circumstances that have been going on, not only in our lives, but what we've been hearing from other people. And he brought me back to a moment back in December. Our son was involved in a really bad accident in baseball, and there was so many unforeseen things that we had never dealt with before, and there was so much fear, so much anxiety, and so much uncertainty of what was going to happen in that scenario. And God had reminded me that that scenario is very similar to like what we're dealing with today. There was so much fear and so much uncertainty and so much anxiety that we were going through. And God had reminded me that in those moments, he had told me that things were going to be okay, that he was going to be a God of hope, a God of healing, a God of restoration, and he was going to make all things right in his timing. And I just felt like even in the season we're going through right now, Andrea found out a month ago that she wasn't going to be able to return back to work, and that uncertainty came up. And then shortly after that, I found out that my job situation was going to look way different. And again, that fear showed up and that uncertainty showed up. And God reminded me, he said, Michael, remember back in December, I told you that I'm a God of hope, a God of restoration, a God of healing. It just brought such comfort to me. So many times we go through life and we forget about the promises God told us back when. And even it was such a short period of time that God had told me those promises, and I had already forgot. And I was just reminded in this season that God is still all those things. He is still for us. He's not against us. When we hurt, he hurts. And I just feel like there's somebody out there that needs to hear that same exact message, that God was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Streams, we miss you so much. We can't wait to be back together with you guys. We love you so much. Have a great day.
Hi, Streams Church. We are the Dwyers. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we miss you guys. And we just wanted to share a couple of things that God has been speaking to us during this time. In this time of the waiting, I have clearly heard from God that now is not the time to be dormant in the waiting. And one verse that has come to my mind quite frequently during this time is 1 Peter 5:8, where it tells us, stay alert. Your adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so that really encourages me to stay present in this time with the Lord. With all the uncertainty going on, there is one thing I am certain of, and that is that God is sovereign over all. And so that really strengthens me. Some things I've been doing to stay active in the waiting is reading my Bible more, memorizing more scripture. Our kids and I have had a lot of fun doing that during this time. Listening to my favorite podcasts, reading some books that are really helping with my thoughts, and just staying engaged, staying in community. I know right now we are all probably burnt out on the online, the Zoom calls, all the things, but right now it's just a way to help us band together. And so that is so important to stay in connection with people who are going to keep you centered on the Lord, focused on the Lord. And another verse that I've thought about a lot during this time is Philippians 4:6-7, and it tells us to not be anxious in anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God, and then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. And during that time, there's no logical explanation why we should feel peace, but we can feel that peace with God. And so that really encourages me. I hope it encourages you.
So God has been talking to me about not having fear. And in Psalm 56:3, it says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And so it's just a constant reminder that I need to put all my troubles, all my worries, all my cares into the hands of God and allow him to either, you know, have healing in those moments or just whatever it is that he needs to speak over me in those moments. And then the other verse is Isaiah 41:10, and it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And that's just a constant reminder that God's always holding me in the palm of his hands, that he's always taking care of me. I know he's always taking care of my family, and that everything's going to be okay when I put my trust and faith in God.
Well, we miss you all, and we're praying for you. And stay encouraged and know that God he's working. He is on the move. So we love you all, and we can't wait to see you in person.
I think it would be inappropriate for us and unwise for us to go rushing back in to what we think is normal until we've answered the question, what in the world is God doing? And Nehemiah is a perfect illustration, because there's a broken down wall that he has to rebuild. But at the time, before he goes, he is a man who is from the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of God in Jerusalem. But at that moment, at that time, he was not there. He was living in a foreign palace of another kingdom. And it's a lot like us, according to scripture. Those of us who are of faith, we belong to the kingdom of God, a kingdom not of this world, but temporarily we reside in this physical kingdom of earth. But in our kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, which we are citizens, there's no virus. We don't have a virus problem. But we're living in a land that does. So it would be insensitive for us to say, hey, our kingdom doesn't have a virus. Good luck with that. That's not faith. You know, the first thing Nehemiah did when he got to Jerusalem is he went and he assessed the problem. He looked at the ruins and what had been destroyed. And then he had a game plan for that. And I think having faith doesn't ignore that there's a problem. Having faith is assessing the problem and saying, it's going to be okay, right? We've faced difficult times before. I was there in 2008. I was there at this moment. Our economy hit rock bottom. We made it through. God is always faithful. A youth pastor friend of mine at another church, and they decided to have services this last weekend. So he's sending me pictures and texting me in real time. I'm not sure if he agreed with the decision, but the first thing he said, he goes, Lloyd, nobody, and I mean nobody's adhering to the guidelines that we asked them to follow. There is just this rush to hugging. They had about a third of their normal attendance. And he says, everybody's hugging and high-fiving. And he says, you can see those who came to church that are still apprehensive, that they feel pressured. You can tell they're feeling pressured to join in. And there's no way at Streams Church that right now we can have a service and follow along with the CDC recommendations that our government and our governor has asked us to go forward with that. It can't happen. We'll have to disregard them all. So we think right now, being sensitive to those who are not ready yet, going forward with caution, going forward in hand in hand and step with our society, saying, even though we have faith, we want to be with you. The elders of the church think that's a prudent thing to do. And I agree 100%. And we'll get there, but we're going to talk about time today. But in the essence of time, I've been with some of you for 15 years. Another month or so, if we can help with these things, putting a stop, helping slowing it down, standing with our community, it just will be nothing in comparison to our situation right now. And we have a plan, or I have a plan, I have an idea. I haven't really made it a plan yet. I think we're gonna just pre-order t-shirts and you can pay for them. And we'll just have different colors with a slogan. Like, so if you're a hugger, you'll wear green and green shirt and it'll say, I'm a hugger. So you know all the green people, you guys just run to each other, you know? And maybe we'll have like a blue shirt with a cowboy with his hand out going, put her there, partner, I shake hands. You know, blue people, you can shake hands if you want to. If you're an air high five, we'll give you an orange shirt with a little high five hand up there. If you're just a peace from a distance, we'll give you a tie-dye shirt. You know, peace from a distance. Or if it's get away from me now, unclean, we'll give you a red shirt so people know stop in their tracks. Just an idea. I'm trying to think outside of the box so that when we regather, please, will you abide by the guidelines we ask you to abide by? And hopefully it's going to be sooner rather than later. So back to the question, what in the world is God doing? And I think one of the things that God is doing revolves around time. And let me explain this to you. In the Greek language, which is a language that the New Testament was written in, there are two words for time. We just have one in the English. But the two words in Greek are chronos and kairos. So chronos, we chronological order, that's where we get the word from. It's minutes, seconds, days, time, literally time. Kairos is like a moment. Chronos has to do with what time is it, 9:15 in the morning. Kairos was, I really had a great time with my family at Disneyland. Well, not, you're not saying I looked at my watch every couple minutes and the watch looked fantastic and every moment. You're saying is there is a moment in this time that we had together that I loved. That it had nothing to do with seconds or minutes. In fact, it's probably just the opposite. You forgot about seconds and minutes. It was a timeless moment that had to do with content. That had to do with the elements of what happened, not the time in which it happened. And did you notice for 2 months, the last couple months, it seems like time has stood still. Many of you, you're probably like me, there were days I didn't know which day it was. For the first 2 weeks, I would get up in the morning and I would go check my calendar to see what meetings I had, what appointments I had, and every day was the same. None. It was like Groundhog Day, the movie with Bill Murray. You know what I mean? Just the same thing over and over and over again. The same answer every day. I've been around younger people who've passed, and sometimes they'll say it, but other people say, especially if it seems premature, of course, so I wish they had more time. And then I've been around older people who've died, and they'll say, I wish I had more time. And it seems what they're saying is, I wish I had more seconds, minutes, hours, weeks, months. And that's what it is. But it really isn't. It's chronos, but it's kairos, because nobody wants more time to live a bad life, right? Nobody wants more time to go through messy divorces and stuff like that. They're not saying that. They're saying, I wish I had more opportunity to have the moments that I missed out on. As a young person, like, I wish I could have got married, or I wish I would have had the opportunity to do this or this. This in moments, right? Or an older person saying, I wish I would have cherished the time that I had to do things like travel more, or say I love you to this person, or show my affection, serve God in a different way or a more powerful way. So really, it seems like they're talking about time on a watch, but they're really talking about moments in life. See, God is not a God of minutes. He's a God of moments. He's not Chronos, he's Kairos. Let me read you a scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 says this. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And Peter's saying, listen, you think, for some reason, you think God's being slow right now. God's not being slow because he's never slow. There is no such thing as slow with God. His day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. He doesn't think that way. What God thinks is he wants everyone to come to repentance. It's not slowness. You've probably been on long car rides with kids, if you've ever had them. And you've had the questions. Are we there yet? How much longer? Over and over and over, right? And I'm wondering right now if God isn't a little annoyed with us like kids are, you know? Are we there yet? Are we done with the virus thing yet, God? And probably not, because I don't think God is annoyed, because God isn't, it's not about Chronos time with God. He's on Kairos time, moments. Judy drives everywhere we go, for the most part. If we're together, she's driving. She's a better driver than I am. Oftentimes, especially if it's after church when we're going up north, I fall asleep, I get to take a nap. And the reason that I can fall asleep and take a nap and not be just clenched arms is because I trust the driver. Right? She's proven herself over years and years and years. She's a good driver. I don't need to worry about it. I don't even think about it. I can take the scenery in if I want to. Enjoy the moment. There was a time that we were taking a mission trip, and we're in the Czech Republic, and we're going through Slovakia on an all-nighter into the Ukraine. Well, the bus driver, the Czech bus driver, was constantly nodding off, and my wife is so vigilant about these things. She's in the front row next to me, and she just clears her, every time she sees him about to nod, she's like, she clears her throat and she's waking me up. And I guess clearing your throat is the international language of saying, wake up and keep your eyes open. But she didn't trust the driver. So she the whole time was just looking out the window, thinking we're gonna crash, concerned about it. And some of us right now, I think we think the devil's driving, because we're just looking out. You know, have you ever been there where you're like pushing your foot down on the pedal and you're steering, like clenching your hands because you're being a backseat driver? But I got good news for you. God is driving, right? And he knows where we're going. You don't, he does. I don't. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get there, but he does, and he's not worried about it because he's an amazing driver, and he's not worried about Chronos. He's not thinking, how long will this ride take? He's thinking about Kairos. This is a journey and a moment that we need to take in and discover with him. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is very, very famous. Scripture, you probably know it because of a song back in the 70s. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time for every purpose under the sun. And then it goes through all the seasons of life, being born, being married, dying. There's a season for everything. And then it finally says in verse 11, he, talking about God, makes everything beautiful in its time. And he has set eternity into the human heart. And the closure of that concept is so powerful that in time, and we're not talking about watch time again, we're talking about Kairos time, in a season, and it's a different season for you than it is for me, in its season, he makes it all beautiful. And because he works with seasons, not chronological time, he therefore has put eternity into our hearts, that we as humans realize there's more than just punching a time card because of the way that God interacts with us. And that's a powerful thing in how you live your life. Understanding eternity and that this is just more than moments and seconds or and hours, that there are God-given moments and seasons in life. And there's this really powerful scripture because the first battle that they face is Jericho, which probably know the story. Trumpets blowing and pots are crashing. It's a very sort of crazy battle plan. So he goes up to look at the walls. Chapter 5, verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" Neither replied, "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" And it's a really powerful scripture because Joshua's going up to take a look at the walls. He sees this man with a sword in his hand who happens to be an angel, a victorious fighting angel. And so he asked the man a question. "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And he says, "Nope." Well, that really wasn't the answer to the question, right? Apparently the angel didn't understand the question. Like, us or them? Which are you for? And he says, "Neither. I'm here as the commander of the army of the Lord." And in a nutshell, let me say this. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And you can be on my team or you cannot be on my team. That's your choice. But this is what I'm doing right now at this time. And then Joshua bows down in reverence. And I think he learned his lesson from 40 years and says, "What message do you have for me?" Isn't that powerful? And I think that's the question that we have to ask during these times, right? God is all about Kairos moments. And what is the message right now during this seemingly forever time that we've been sitting in our homes, God? What is your message, my Lord, for me? What are you doing in this world today? And what is your message for me? And there have been so many Kairos moments that you're going to tell for generations. You'll tell your kids about it. You'll tell your grandkids about it. Everybody will know the stories. About your spouse and time with your children. Perhaps maybe right now, it revealed some stuff you need to work on in your marriage perhaps. Maybe that was the revelation during this time that God's doing. And you can say, "Wow, I wasted so much Chronos time. All these years I thought it was going well and it wasn't going well and I found out it wasn't going well." And, but what a gift from God that he used this to reveal it so you didn't waste any more Chronos time going forward. This is your opportunity to maybe get things right. Maybe God has revealed some stuff. He's used, maybe that's what the armies of the Lord is doing right now. He's taking out strongholds that have been holding down people's lives. And we've been forced into isolation to really look into the mirror. What if God wanted to show the world, you know what? You all can work at home. You can set your own schedules. You don't have to waste time going in and going back and you can have moments. So you're there in the moment with your children or your wife or whatever it looks like. We have been doing this for a long time with Streams Churches. We just work out of our homes because I don't want to pay the money to cool down an office all the time. And that's how we did it from the very beginning. And the other reason we did it is because when I owned my own business, that's what I loved about it, right? If I wanted to work till midnight, I would. If I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I would. So that afternoon, when my daughter had a softball game or they were in a play that I could be active in, I could be there. What if that's the lesson God's teaching all of us, you, me, that we need to make sure we're in the moment? People ask me about my daughters a lot and they seem to be doing really well in life and their faith is strong. And what are the keys? And understanding the moment and being in the moment is really one of the things that I really learned. I wrote down it first when I was writing my notes out. I don't know where I got that from, but I do know where I got that from. Because my mother was always in the moment. Dads, they didn't do so well. And when I was 15, she became a single mom. She had to work hard, really hard, and commute. So she couldn't be there, but when she was there, she was all in. She was fully engaged. She was the loudest voice in the crowd. That's not advice I'm giving to other mothers, because it was embarrassing at times, but I knew she was there, and everybody else did too. They knew who I was, that I was hers and she was mine. They all knew that. And so I learned that well, and it really has paid off well in the raising of my daughters. So what if this is that moment? What if this is that time that God goes, you're looking at these 2 months, you're looking at it's going to be another year before this virus is taken down. I'm looking at an opportunity so that you get out of the seconds and the minutes and the weeks and the days and really look at the moments. Because he doesn't want you to keep circling the mountain. You know that? He doesn't want that for you. He wants you to go into the promised land that he has for you. And so the answer, the question is to God, what is the message you're doing in my life? What is the message you're doing in this world? What is the message you're doing in the church? And if we run past that, if we don't figure what in the world, God, you are doing, before we just rush back into everything normal, we're going to have missed this opportunity. Our focus during this time has been re-engaged to those who are older than us, or the elderly, grandparents, people of wisdom in our lives. And our heart has been reattached to them in many, many ways of just wanting every more precious moment, second, you know, that we have with them, and going out of our way to say, we care for you, and here's some groceries for you, and going and we go to Judy's mom's house or my parents' house, and we are there apart from them with our masks on, but we're making a more concerted effort. What if that's another thing that's God doing in our lives? He's saying, don't forget about these precious ones. That's a beautiful thing that God is doing right now too. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you've given us this opportunity to understand that you're about moments, not about seconds. Forgive us that we in America have been obsessed by it for so long. Teach us the lesson that we only get these moments once, sometimes in our lives. So we want to be ever present. And then God, we ask you right now, Holy Spirit, we ask you, what is the message you have for me in this moment? Let me have ears to hear and eyes to see what you're speaking and what you're doing. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. I thank you for the Chronos time that you spend here, that you've put aside to be with us. And I hope that there's a Kairos moment that happened in your heart where God spoke to you in a powerful way. We'll see you soon. In person, we'll get your colored t-shirts. We'll know what to do with you when you show up. And until that time, we love you. We're praying for you. God bless.